Tonight's show is brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, Vendetti Optics, and you, our listeners. Like, who doesn't want to stay with a naughty squirrel, right? What is up, all of you wayward souls, and welcome back to the Wayward Stories podcast. Wayward Stories is the podcast where we tell the tales of our adventures in our wanderings and our wonderings. How have you guys been for the last couple of weeks? I've been okay. We're surviving. Yeah, just barely surviving. I bet a lot of you can relate to that. But we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to kind of buzz right through all of this intro stuff because I am excited to talk about, we're going wandering tonight. I've got some good wanders. Can't believe it took me this long to realize this is an episode in and of itself. I think you guys are going to enjoy tonight's episode. But first, a minute or so of housekeeping. Number one, guys, happy birthday to Wayward Stories. We are 3 years strong with this episode drop. It is episode 88, but we have been recording more or less regularly for 3 years now. And to go along with it, almost as if by design, we hit 10,000 all-time downloads this week, which to be sure is nothing in the big scheme of how podcasts are supposed to go when you make it, but we hit a heck of a milestone. 3 years this week, 10,000 downloads, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. If nothing else, that tells me that I've been diligent to create this. We have a portfolio, a back catalog, and that's pretty neat. You know, that's pretty neat to have created something and something to look back on. As I scroll back through all the episodes, it's sometimes just kind of interesting. It's like, wow, we really did this thing. So that's really cool. And that requires me to say thank you to all of you who have supported us from the very beginning and all of you who continue to write in. I dare not go through the whole list, but each and every one of you know who you are because we correspond somewhat regularly. Now for the regular housekeeping, which is please like, please subscribe, please rate and review. Please rate and review. That helps immensely. And also word of mouth. You guys pass it along. Tell your friends, share it in your Facebook groups. These things are immensely helpful to us. And if you'd like to give us a 3-year birthday present, share this episode with all of your friends. This is going to be a good one to do it. Tonight's episode is going to be fun. And finally, I promised you guys in our last episode, I would come back with an update when I was finally able to fire off my new insult to call somebody's mother a yellow-bellied marmot. That happened this week. I went into work one morning and one of the guys that I continually badger, and he badgers me and pesters me as well, he came on in and said something to me that I cannot repeat on the air because I have this podcast listed as clean. And I looked him dead in the eyes and I said, yeah, well, your mother is a yellow-bellied marmot. And he opened his mouth and he pointed his finger like he was going to say something. And he just stood there with his mouth agape. And after a moment, he said, I've got nothing. Mic drop. Yellow-bellied marmot wins the day. All right, guys, what are we going to talk about tonight? Let's get into this episode. There's a lot to talk about, so we need to get buzzing along. Well, as you can see from the title, it's called Arkansas Backcountry Byways. Some of you may be going, I did not know that we had backcountry byways in Arkansas. Well, that's because we don't. Like, you know, when I was out in New Mexico, New Mexico's got backcountry byways through the BLM land. There's several places that have designated backcountry byways, which is like the coolest idea ever. And it dawned on me. Jess and I took a little adventure just a couple of weekends ago. It was kind of a spur of the moment. Hey, let's go do this thing. And a little sidetrack adventure that took us down a good old backcountry road here in the Arkansas Ozarks kind of inspired me. I was like, holy cow, let's Google this. No backcountry byways. No designated backcountry byways for all of our national forests that we have in this state. No designated backcountry byways. So guess what? Tonight, you are getting the Wayward Son list of Arkansas backcountry byways that I know from using myself from personal experience. And this will by no means cover the entire list of backcountry roads that there are to travel in the Ozarks and the Ouachitas, but it's a heck of a good start and ones that I have done myself. And who knows, maybe in the future we'll get a volume two in the vein of this episode, because this is going to be fun. So let's just get started, and let's start with the trip that was the inspiration for this episode. And that trip was just a couple of weekends ago. We woke up on Saturday morning and said, I don't want to sit here all day. We need to do something. And I was like, you know what? How about we go over to like the Blanchard Springs area? I've learned a little bit about that recently in some of my work with the National Historic Site. And they've got apparently an amazing cave. They also have the Ozark Folk Center State Park. That's a stamp that we don't have in our books yet. And a lot of other cool stuff up there around Mountain View. So why don't we just take off this morning and let's head over that way. And along the way, we found a little back way to head on over towards Mountain View. And it was so beautiful that I thought, you know what? We need to line this out. We need to talk about this. I pulled out my travel notebook. I handed it to Jess. I was like, here, please, you know, because I'm driving. You know, will you write down this road? And then we hit the next road we had to intersection. Write down that road. We wrote down the names of the creeks. So came up with this little kind of backcountry byway, which was, again, the impetus for this episode tonight. And so let's go over this trip in detail. And we're just going to start the episode with that. It's a great way to kick this off. So we started out in NWA. Doesn't matter where, we started off in NWA. And from NWA, if you're heading over to Blanchard Springs Caverns or the Ozark Folk Center State Park or Mountain View, you're going to be taking 412 out of NWA all the way over to Highway 65. And then you're going to head south down Highway 65. Those two roads alone like merit status as a scenic drive. Like there, it's an absolutely beautiful and easy scenic drive on paved roads. And as a matter of fact, as you go along, you get very, very close to Withrow Springs State Park if you need that stamp in your Arkansas State Parks passport book. And you can just shoot up there and get it real quick, because I'm going to be completely honest with you, there's nothing to do at all at Withrow Springs State Park except for camp. There's like a couple little trails, and there's a little bit of history. You can see the spring as it exits the mountain. It's a neat little place, but it's not like a destination for you unless you want to go camp for the whole weekend. But you need to get that stamp eventually, right? So you can peel off, run up there and grab that real quick, get back down on 412, hit 65 and head south. Another bonus is if you're heading 65 south, you're going to head through St. Joe. And you're going to go right by Grinders Ferry. You're going to cross the Buffalo River. And right there at St. Joe, you can peel off and head over to the Buffalo River National River Visitor Center. And you can get your National Park passport if you still need it for the Buffalo River, because it is a National Parks administered scenic river. Was America's first National Scenic River, as a matter of fact, a lofty status, if I do say so myself. And so that drive alone is worthy of like scenic drive status, but we're not after scenic drives in tonight's episode. We've got plenty of those. We may talk about a few at the very end of the episode, but what we're after tonight is the backcountry roads, right? And so after you head down from St. Joe from the Buffalo River, you're going to hit Highway 27 at Marshall. You take Highway 27, you go over to 74, and from 74, you're going to take Long Creek Road. This is the backcountry drive. You can write this part down. You can write it all down if you want to, but this is the best part to write down. Take Long Creek Road at Marshall off of Highway 27 all the way to Highway 66 at Alco. You can figure it out from there, but we're going to talk about it now, but that's the Cliff's Notes version. Highway 27 at Marshall, you're going to take Long Creek Road all the way over to Alco. And when you hit Highway 66, it's highway sailing all the way to Mountain View. But the drive itself is really, really cool. At Landis, you hit Long Creek Road. Long Creek Road, the way we came by it is we were buzzing around through there off Highway 27 and 74, and all of a sudden, there was like a alternate route popped up on Google Maps. And as we blew by it, realized it was a dirt road. So I like immediately whipped over to the side. Jess had already seen it and was like, that was a dirt road. So we whipped over. We looked at it on Google Maps and we're like, well, heck, let's go do it. Let's see what happens. It's a day for adventure, right? So you hit Long Creek Road and it is a river or a creek bottom road in the high Ozarks, man. It's right through a valley, and that valley gets so narrow at points. It was so beautiful. You're following Long Creek for a good distance, and there's a lot of really great scenery. It was a really, really peaceful drive in the backcountry. One lane road in a lot of places. There are people settled and living back in there, but a lot of beautiful photography opportunities, a lot of wildlife. We saw one group of deer down in one of the valleys, saw lots of birds everywhere, squirrels everywhere, and then there's some abandoned houses as well. So any of you who are into Rurex will likely also highly enjoy this drive, but that's exactly what it is. It is a backcountry drive through the Arkansas Ozarks, and what you end up doing is you take Long Creek Road and it becomes Bluff Springs Road. There will be a split in the road, and instead of going up the hill, you continue to the left, which is more or less feels like you're going straight, and it becomes Bluff Springs Road. And you follow Bluff Springs Road all the way to Round Mountain Road. And once you hit Round Mountain Road, you take it up and over the mountain peak next to you. And all in all, you're basically driving along Long Creek and Big Creek for the better part of an hour. And it's absolutely beautiful. It is a dirt road. There are several low water crossings. The water was actually up pretty good that day. Of course, that was no problem for old Clemmy, the old Subi. No matter what kind of reflection Clementine has upon my manhood here in the American South, she does her four-wheel drive job more than well. She does it as good as anything I've ever owned. She does it better than my old Z71 did back when I used to get to be manly. You know, back when I got to be a part of the masculinity club because I drove a pickup truck. Well, now that I'm in a Subaru, guess what? It does the job better than my old Z71 ever did. But anyway, she handled all the low water crossings with ease. I will say this, for any of you that might want to take this little adventure, you could do probably large parts of it in some kind of a sedan, but like honestly, you're probably better off, especially if you're really wanting to go back roading, to have something with a little bit more ground clearance, something that is kind of all terrain. It's definitely going to be your better choice for pretty much anything we talk about tonight. But it was, man, it was great. I love low water crossings anyway. There's something that's so much fun about driving through 6 inches of water, pouring off a low water bridge. It was really, really cool. And then once you get back to 66, you're heading to Mountain View. And what's going on in Mountain View? Mountain View, y'all, is a really cool place to hang out. We had a good time in Mountain View. We went over and we were going to see Blanchard Springs Caverns. Now, it turns out Blanchard Springs Caverns is like a U.S. Forest Service administered like tourist attraction. It is a commercial cave administered by the Forest Service, which I don't know of any others like that. The place is staffed and manned like it's a national park. And as a matter of fact, they even have an Eastern National gift shop where you can get a national park passport stamp, which is crazy because it's not a national park and it's not NPS administered. It's National Forest administered, but it's like a stamp you can put in the other section at the back of your passport. And that's what we did. Guys, that cave is gorgeous. It is one of the coolest caves I've ever been on a tour of. And I've been into a lot of caves, most of them commercial, because in this part of the world, if they're not commercial, you don't get to go in unless you really know somebody that knows somebody. And also, you got to be for real pretty serious about spelunking, because most of the caves that people know of on private property that are not commercial, like they're serious access deals. Like, you know, it's real spelunking. It's dangerous kind of spelunking. So most of the caves I've ever had the opportunity to go in have been commercial. Well, this is one of the nicest, like most beautiful ones I've ever seen. And according to them, man had not stepped foot in it before, I think it was the 1960s, when it was discovered, at least according to them and any evidence they've found. So in a sense, it's a very pristine cave that was set up to be commercial from the jump. it was planned out that way so that it wasn't like most caves you come across, people have known around about for hundreds of years. And of course, the indigenous peoples would use them from something and be very respectful. And then the European Americans like us showed up and we were totally disrespectful and broke off all the stalactites and the stalagmites and we wrote our names all over the walls. But this one is, that's not the case. No one had ever been in it until the 1960s, supposedly. So it's pretty pristine. And our tour guide, our docent, our park interpreter, she did a great job. It's about an hour long tour. Totally worth it, guys. It was super cool. And it just so happens to be next to Mirror Lake, which was the real hidden agenda that I had all along. We had a lot of rain the week before, like lots and lots and lots of rain. And I've been seeing people get their mandatory Mirror Lake waterfall capture for 2 or 3 years now, and I've just never gotten there. And so I really wanted to get over there, and I knew the water would be up. Head over to my Instagram, waywardson119, and look at the picture, one of the most recent, of Mirror Lake Falls, and you'll have an idea. It is a dam constructed by the Civilian Conservation Corps. There was a mill there at one time, and it creates this beautiful waterfall that hits a second cascade and comes on down, and for long exposure, it's absolutely gorgeous. And we got it right about sunset, like so much so that I was actually running down the trail trying to make sure I got there with just enough light, hopefully, because I didn't know how long the trail was actually going to be, to get the pictures, which ended up being more than enough time. It was perfect light right at sunset. And of course, for long exposure, you want to have lower lighting conditions. It allows for longer exposures without blowing out the background. And I feel like I came away with a pretty darn good exposure, a couple of them. And in order to get the best photo, I did what I think maybe best summarizes the way I do things out there, starting all the way back in California. I pulled the shoes and socks off, rolled up my pants, and I waded into ice cold water. It was freezing. It may be, what are we in, March? We may have had a few warm days. That water was ice cold, y'all. And it was moving. And I waded out there and I nearly killed myself because the lichens, the mosses, the things that grow on the rocks at the bottom of those Ozark Mountain creeks, like most creeks, is slicker than greased owl snot. And I had a couple of close calls out there, but I got the picture and you can go see it. And now you're going to want to go get that picture too. Anyway, it's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Mirror Lake is a very, very picturesque setting, but that waterfall is absolutely stunning. It's almost like they created it to be photographed. I don't think that was the case, but there's not a better setup, I think, in this entire state for a long exposure waterfall shot. We got a lot of waterfalls, but just trust me, go look at the picture, check it out for yourself. It was a fun adventure. It was a very fun adventure. And Mountain View itself is very cool. Now, we talked about this a little bit, just a minute ago. I mentioned the Ozark Folk Center. We got there. They weren't open for the season yet, but they were getting ready to open for the season. And they had a lot of people there cleaning up and getting prepped to open up. And they let us wander around. And it was really, really cool. I was very thankful. They were super kind. Number one, the visitor center was open because they were there, so we were able to get our state park, Arkansas State Park stamp and our passport. But we went on to the back. She said, well, you can come on back. Nothing's open. We're not selling anything. And what the Ozark Folk Center State Park essentially is, it's just like this big craft village. When they open up, they have all these little shops. And it's a craft village where they sell handmade crafts that are inspired by essentially the heritage of the Ozarks. They have bluegrass music. They have all these things going on. We didn't get to see any of that, but we did get to meet some of the artisans. Actually, the man who worked in the woodworking shop, he was excited, very excited to tell us all about the stuff he did and take us in. And he was so kind, showed us a ton of really, really cool stuff. And he's basically been learning the trade. And was apprenticed in to be able to take that position. And it was very neat. And he had a couple of really awesome little pupper dogs and enjoyed petting them while he discussed his trade. And he had a good time. We had a good time. And I actually look forward to going back when they get back opened up back for the season. I think that'll be great. Mountain View itself is a neat little place. We stayed the night there. Nowhere special. It was just happened to be what we were able to get. But there are a couple of places there that seemed really, really cool that are like little cabin setups. They're kind of in town. It's not like a cabin on top of a mountain like up on the Buffalo River. But they're reasonable rates. And one of them, for example, was called the Naughty Squirrel. Like, who doesn't want to stay with a naughty squirrel, right? Of course, it's spelled K-N-O-T-T-Y, but it's the Naughty Squirrel. I wish we could have stayed there. We tried really hard, but we couldn't get anyone to answer the phone after hours, which is unfortunate because that would have been really, really cool. But there's a lot of stuff going on up around Mountain View. You got a state park. And we wandered around downtown. You got the Stone County Courthouse, which is a very old historic courthouse, had a role in Civil War activity, and they were having some kind of a little, like a hoedown, man. Like, there was bluegrass people playing everywhere. Apparently that's a thing in Mountain View. And we went into this one little shop that waved us in because we saw guys playing music inside, tiny little shop. And this guy waves us in, so we just walked in. There were three gentlemen sitting there with a stand-up bass, a guitar, and a banjo, and they were going to town. And they were pretty darn good. Listen, I've seen a lot of bands like that in my day. I am a musician. I used to play all the time. Most of them are bad. Telling the truth, most little bands like that are just terrible. But it's fun because it's live and you watch and you smile and it's great for everyone. No, they were actually really, really good. Like, that was super fun. That was super fun. And also there was like the Sasquatch Hideaway or Sasquatch Cave right next to it. And anyway, they were some neat folks from New England who moved out of Boston from Massachusetts to come down here for reasons that we were not absolutely able to ascertain. Apparently, it was just like chose a spot on a map to get the heck out of all the population centers. But they're really neat and they made some awesome cookies. Anyway, Mountain View is actually pretty cool. I knew I wanted to go there for Mirror Lake Falls. Blanchard Springs popped out of nowhere on me. Had no idea. The caverns, that is. So it turned out there's like a lot of fun stuff to do up there, but you can take a backcountry drive to go and explore there. And once again, it is Long Creek Road to Bluff Springs Road to Round Mountain Road. And it was a dirt, leisurely, low water bridge, water crossings, scenery extravaganza. It was the word I kept using. It had a very pastoral appearance. It was very bucolic. Both of those words, I don't really know what they mean. Well, pastoral means, you know, pastures, basically. It's where people, you know, do farm and stuff. And bucolic, I'm assuming, just means like, actually, I know what it means, but I'm going to make you guys look it up. It is a really neat drive. So that's going to be backcountry drive number one. Okay, since I need a fairly short one to take us into break, we're going to talk about one that is down in the Ouachitas as opposed to the Ozarks. And this is a fun little drive, and there's a lot of exploring you can do off of this drive. Backcountry Byway, Wayward Sons list of Arkansas backcountry byways. And what this road is south of Waldron, you head down 71. 71 south is a beautiful drive in its own right. But do be mindful that you will like grit your teeth to dust driving behind the big trucks down 71 South. State of Arkansas, I'm looking at you. Get that damn Interstate 49 finished from Texarkana to Barling. Seriously, only state in the nation that hasn't finished their part of it. Pretty embarrassing, big picture, actually. But 71 South is a super scenic drive in its own right. But once you get south of Waldron, heading down 71 South, there's a place called, well, there is a road, Johnson Creek Road, and it's off to the right of 71 South. You will see it. You can pull it up on Google Maps. And what you're basically going to do is take Johnson Creek Road to Eagle Gap, Oklahoma, which comes out on Oklahoma 59. Or no, actually, I think it's Eagle Gap, Arkansas. Yeah, I believe it's still in Arkansas where it's Eagle Gap. But either way, you're jumping off 71 onto Johnson Creek Road, and if you take your Google Maps and look it over, type in Eagle Gap, you can actually see the series of roads that you can explore all through the Ouachita Mountains. This is national forest land, the majority of it. There's a little bit of private land in there. mostly national forest, and it runs up on some of the most beautiful and even deep in places, little creeks. It's Ouachita Mountains National Forest. It is giant loblolly pine trees. There's some hardwoods in there. There's a lot of creeks that you cross. There's creeks big enough to fish in if you like to fish and you have your Arkansas fishing license. But it is an adventurous, just exploration day. Back on dirt roads, country roads in the middle of nowhere. I definitely suggest downloading your Google Maps or whatever software you like to use offline, because you will lose service back in there. But guys, we had a day last year where Jess and I took the girls. We had so much fun back in there. We stopped at the creeks and rock hounded looking for fossils. We found a natural clay deposit in the bank of one of the creeks off a low water crossing, and we made pottery and set it out in the sun to dry over the next week. Took it home with us and actually made little cups out of the clay. Natural clay, unfired, of course, just for giggles. And I got to have a little teaching opportunity about how unfired clay vessels were made. Theoretically, we didn't make very good clay vessels, but we made some by indigenous peoples here in the Americas and really the world over. The unfired stuff is like, it's a whole different thing. But we found a natural clay deposit, and that was just super fun. Man, we'd sit there and molded stuff, crafted stuff, made faces, everything else. Just a super fun day exploring the backwoods. And that's exactly what it is. It's all dirt roads. It's all gravel roads. Johnson Creek Road from 71 South. And you just follow it over until you hit Eagle Gap, Arkansas. And then you're back on Highway 59. And you can either head up into Heavener, Oklahoma, cross over into Oklahoma, or you can head back down to Acorn, and go down to Mena, and there's some great places to eat in Mena. Or up in Heavener, there's the Southern Belle Restaurant, which is legitimately one of the best little steak restaurants you'll ever eat in, that is in an authentic Pullman railroad car. Like, and it's kind of a cool story about that railroad car. Heavener is a junction point on the KCS Railway. If you take 59 on up to Heavener, you'll likely see several trains off to your right. It's actually a neat little drive, especially if you're into railroads or rail fanning. But when you get to Heavener, there is the Southern Belle Restaurant. And I actually know the guy who started the restaurant because he was one of my high school teachers in Heavener, Oklahoma, America. And he used to drive a bus route. And off one of those old roads, I believe it was Independence Road, he noticed one day he could see the end of this old railroad car, this old Pullman passenger train car, just kind of rusting to pieces out there in this field, in this pasture. So he did some inquiring, whatever. He got interested. He ended up buying the train car, moving it into town, refurbishing it, turning it into a restaurant, and it's still functioning to this day, which is like 25 years later. Like, that's a cool story. That is a cool hometown small business story, and they make hella good food. So that's one way you could wrap up your little backcountry byway from Johnson Creek Road to Eagle Gap, and then you hit your state highway and you head back up into Oklahoma and go on a little adventure that way. Or you can head back down to 71 and wrap back to wherever you came from. But that is a really, really cool backcountry drive. Like I said, what you're doing when you're in these places, you're literally just exploring old forestry roads. They're forestry roads. There's some logging roads. Depending on how off-road capable your vehicle is, there's almost no end, especially down in the Ouachitas, because it is mostly national forest, as opposed to the Ozarks, which is mostly privately owned. There's almost no end to the places you can get to, all on dirt roads. I mean, this will mean nothing to any of you, but unless you lived there, but when I grew up in Heavener, we could take four-wheelers from the town of Heavener all the way to nearly Waldron, which is a enormous, enormous distance, all on dirt back roads through wilderness. And I bet you can still do that today. To be completely honest, it's national forest land. So much of it is national forest land. So that's going to be a second entry for an Arkansas backcountry byway. Johnson Creek Road to Eagle Gap. And that will take you through a big section of Ouachita National Forest and be a very, very enjoyable day for you. Well, that takes us past our 30 minutes, so let's take it on into break. When we come back, I've got several here, but at least two that I just can't wait to tell you about. And then depending on how much time we have, I can fill in because I've got a whole list of backcountry byways that I have discovered myself over all these many years exploring our forest and our mountains here in the great state of Arkansas. We'll be right back. What is up, all of you wayward souls? I want to tell you guys about our newest sponsor, Bendetti Optics, a brand based right here in the good old US of A, Portland, Oregon, to be exact. And I bought my first pair of Bendetti sunglasses about a year and a half ago and fell in love with them so much so that I got online and ordered a couple more pair. And when I did, there was a small shipping snafu, an order fulfillment snafu, and I got on the phone, gave them a call, and guess what? I get a call back from who? One of the big men themselves, right there in Portland, from the top of the chain. Have a great conversation, and we end up starting this great relationship we have. They more than made right the little snafu that occurred, and I am now a huge proponent of them because I can tell you from personal experience, they are good people, and they're trying to compete with the big boys out there coming in at a price point of about $40, but using the exact same frame material, TR90, and the same polarization process as the big guys. As it turns out, something I think we are already probably knew in our hearts, when you buy big name sunglasses, you're buying a big name, not necessarily any more quality than you can get somewhere else, like at Bendetti Optics. They have 29 different styles. They have multiple polarization options for whatever climate you happen to live in. And they back it up with like this lifetime guarantee that if your dog eats your sunglasses, it doesn't matter how you break them, send it back in with a check to cover shipping and handling and you're golden. You got a new pair on the way. These guys are truly trying to do it right, and they have this philosophy that a really good pair of sunglasses should not cost you so much that you are afraid to wear them. And I think all of us outdoorsmen can relate to that. So if you guys, like me, are very practical and like to get more bang for your buck and wear some great looking sunglasses, check out BendettiOptics.com. That's BendettiOptics, optics.com, or you can go over to Instagram/BendettiOptics. And that I highly suggest, whether you buy a pair or not, just to check out the cutest pupper you will ever see modeling sunglasses. Once again, that's BendettiOptics.com. And make sure and let them know Wayward Stories sent you. And welcome back. All right, guys, let's get right back into it because we got so much to talk about and so little time. Robin Hood Men in Tights. Anyone else love that movie? We have much to do and less time to do it in. All right, so let's head back up to the Ozarks, but let's kind of split the difference. Let's stay just in the edge, the foothills of the Ozarks, and just off of the river valley, because this one follows a river, a very special river in Arkansas, the Mulberry River. So let's head up to Highway 23, which is the Pig Trail, which is in and of itself an actual designated scenic byway in Arkansas. Arkansas has scenic byways. They just don't have any backcountry byways. That's why we're making our list tonight. But if you head up 23 from Interstate 40, you will come to Turner Bend. Anyone here in state, without a doubt, without fail, will know where that is. Anyone else that wants to come visit, it's part of the way up Highway 23. Once you get to Turner Bend, there's a crossing of the Mulberry River. It's a state highway, like it's a bridge. But you need to stop at the Turner Bend store, and you need to give those guys a couple of dollars. They make some great sandwiches. It's a great pit stop heading up the hill. I think they even have gas, but y'all don't get any ideas. This ain't no Buc-ee's, okay? I think there's one pump out front. This is an old school store, and it's on a very tight section of the road. There's not much room. That's the best way to say it. Not much room. If you see a spot to park, you park, run in, refuel, probably your tummy more than your gas tank. You should just get gas at the bottom of the hill at Workman's, to be completely honest. But stop there, because Turner Bend is one of the neatest little stores, man. I just love it. Stop there and refill on snacks and food and whatever you want to do. And then head up the road just a little ways until you get to Shores Lake Road. You're going to take a left off of Highway 23 onto Shores Lake Road. And essentially, if you will take Shores Lake Road all the way to Shores Lake, you've got yourself one heck of a backcountry byway. This is a really fun road to drive. It's a dirt road. It follows portions of the Mulberry River. You can actually stop at Campbell Cemetery, which is one of the put-ins, one of the public accesses on the Mulberry. And there's also Campbell Cemetery, which is super fun to explore. One of the best parts about this adventure for me is you are backcountry. You are off-road. I say off-road. You're off-highway. It's definitely dirt roads. But there's so many accesses to the river. And y'all, if you like to fish, the Mulberry River is incredible for smallmouth. There's some largemouth. But it's also a great place to just swim. Guys, it's also a great place to rock hound. The Mulberry River, specifically, has lots and lots and lots of fossils. So does Frog Bayou. So does the Buffalo River. But my daughter and I, that's like one of her favorite things to do, man. I started taking her a couple of years ago up to these old river, you know, mountain rivers where there's so many rock shoals everywhere. Guys, you can scour those rock shoals for hours and come away with all kinds of fossils. And it's so cool. It's so much fun to do. But then there's also like historic stuff along the way, like Campbell Cemetery. It's out there in the middle of nowhere because there was a community there once. You're going to find old homesteads. You're going to see the rock walls in the middle of the forest. When you see a rock wall in the middle of an Ozark Mountain forest, rest assured that forest wasn't there 150 years ago because some hardy settler cleared that land and farmed it. And those rock walls were the result of them plowing and tilling those fields and carving out a life. And they would take all the rocks and they'd go pile them up at the corner of the property. And a lot of times they would take them and use them to delineate their property lines. They would stack them up. Sometimes they're literally like worked into an actual something that looks like a wall. A lot of times it's just like a little triangle, like stacked stone. They would just be piled stones the entire length of a property line. Sometimes you will still see a giant pile of stones just in the middle of the woods. That was literally the corner of somebody's plot of land. A lot of history up there. You will find rock-lined wells. Matter of fact, once you get up north of Shores Lake area and you start getting into the Hurricane Creek area, you got to be a little bit careful. Some friends of mine and I one time happened to cross a rock-lined well. And it was just there in the middle of the ground. It did not extend above the surface. You could have stepped right off into it. I've seen a couple of those. I've seen a couple. If you ever see a car hood, like especially a really old car hood in the middle of the woods, rolled upside down, go turn it over. Watch out for snakes. Because we got plenty. We got rattlesnakes. We got copperheads. Oh, and on the Mulberry, if you decide to go swimming, Mulberry is famous for freaking water moccasins. So be mindful. They can hurt you real bad. But turn over those old car hoods. A lot of times there's a rock lined well underneath it. I don't know why they didn't build them up above surface level. I'm suspecting, just using critical thinking and my knowledge of history, I would have a suspicion that the reason for that was is they were some of the earliest maybe settlements, and they didn't really have the need or the even like the mortar or the supplies to actually kind of stack those stones higher and cement them together in a manner that would actually make them kind of safer. You know, I'm thinking they literally just dug straight down till they hit water and lined it with rock straight down. And no, that doesn't make sense, because if you're going to rock line it, you're going to be cementing that stuff together. I'm thinking through a thought process and it turns out I think I was probably wrong, but we're going to leave that in because thus is the nature of critical thinking. It's okay to be wrong sometimes, right? You wouldn't think that if you watched the news, but trust me, it's okay. It's a progress of education. Anyway, I have no idea why they didn't build it up above the surface, but it is dangerous. So if you're ever out there trekking, like not hiking on an established trail, but just trekking along, be mindful where you step, because you might step off in a hole and it wouldn't be fun for you. It would actually be terrifying. Think of Samara in The Ring. Terrifying, terrifying. That movie gave me nightmares. But anyway around it, there's a lot to see when you take Shores Lake Road. And it's cool because you can go down, you can access the Mulberry, you can go rock hounding, you can go exploring, you can go fishing, find a lot of historical stuff. But when you get to the end of that road at Shores Lake, well, Shores Lake was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps. Shores Lake is neat. Lots of people go and camp there, spend a weekend camping there. But it's way off the beaten path. and it's fun to explore there, you will see bald eagles there. I've seen more than a few bald eagles at Shores Lake exploring down around below the dam. It's a dam that was built by the CCC, actually just like Mirror Lake, the dam that we talked about in the first half of the episode. Really neat place. I got picnic tables. There's a lot of old growth trees, so it's a great place to stop and eat your picnic lunch if you brought one. But also, if you're into geocaching, there happens to be a geocache. I don't know if it's current. I don't know if it's still in good shape. But at the old CCC camp, just down from Shores Lake, which is not marked historically, you really kind of need the geocaching app and find the cache that is just south of Shores Lake, and it is in the foundational ruins of the old CCC camp. That's why it was placed there, is to bring people out to show them a little piece of history that's not actually preserved or marked on a map or any other way. So there's some pretty cool stuff you can do there. You're also getting real close to White Rock. White Rock is an entire different day, a different story to talk about. White Rock's really neat too. Super high point, great panoramas, but we'll talk about that another day because we're going to stay hooked up down here near Shores Lake, because once you get to Shores Lake, if you will take Highway 215 onto the west, you will eventually hit Fern or Old Fern Road. It's a community, but right before you hit Fern, you'll be looking for Wilson Road on your left. If you take Wilson Road, you will end up in Fern Gully. Fern Gully is a really neat place. It's got a climbing area. It is where I learned to rappel. My very first rappel was at Fern Gully. That's where I got my training for basic rappelling. There's also some neat little cascades in the creek at the bottom of Fern Gully. There's some great photography opportunities. A lot of climbing. There's a whole climbing area there. People have drove in their permanent anchor points. There's a lot of sheer-faced climbing right there in Fern Gully. And it's a fun little adventure, and you better have a four-wheel drive to get down to that one. Just FYI, you need to be all-wheel capable, because there's some mud holes getting down to the Fern Gully area that would swallow your average sedan. Just saying. Might go up over the hood. Could be a bad deal. But you're going to need a four-wheel drive for that one. But 215, you can take from Shores Lake all the way to Old Fern Road. And once you get to Old Fern Road, you're at somewhere else that's kind of interesting. You're right near the Devil's Canyon Trail. And at the end of the Devil's Canyon Trail is a waterfall. And it's a pretty neat little waterfall. I will warn you, it is a 5-kilometer hike, and you will gain 450 feet of elevation. And in places, it's very bushwhacky. We're talking, again, backcountry scenic byways, guys. Shores Lake to Old Fern Road, from Turner Bend all the way to Fern. Great backcountry byway. Tons to do and explore. And at the end is a real backcountry bushwhack down to Devil's Canyon. And who doesn't like Devil's Canyon? We've talked about it before. There's devils everything. Devil's backbone, devil's bathtub, devil's butt crack. They're all over. It's great. Check out our Devil's Canyon. It is a very, very pretty sight, and the waterfall at the end of Devil's Canyon, it's a very picturesque one. It's definitely a nice one for photography. All right, so that's going to be our number three, I guess, backcountry scenic byway for the Wayward Sons list tonight. Now we're going to turn our attention back to the Washitas, and this one, this is a good one. This one's going to be... You're definitely going to want pretty good ground clearance. Doesn't have to be four-wheel drive, especially in drier conditions, but I would definitely say all-terrain vehicle is your best bet. Good four-wheel drive vehicle. Poto Mountain Road Rustic Driving Tour. Okay, so it turns out the one thing I was able to find, this is one of the ones I thought we definitely have to talk about, Poto Mountain Road. This is a great road. Backcountry dirt road with lots to hike, lots to explore. It turns out it is the only one that has any kind of designation, and it's called the Poto Mountain Rustic Road Auto Tour. I looked and looked, and I can find no other rustic road auto tours in Arkansas, like on Google at least. This appears to have been a thing that the Forest Service did at some point, and I can find no evidence of any other one in the whole state. So I don't know if this is just the only one that ever was, or this is the only one that's online. If it's that old, I printed out the actual booklet. Somebody had digitized it, and it looks pretty ghetto. So anyway, I'm going to read you a little bit just straight from this, because it's going to line it out a little bit better than I could. If you're starting from 71 South, you're going to go to essentially Forest Road 158, which is Poteau Mountain Road. Green sign right there on 71, and it tells you. You turn west onto Poteau Mountain Road, and you're in it. That's it. This is a 22-mile drive that follows the spine of Poteau Mountain. And on that most eastern half, when you come up and you're heading west from Highway 71, it gets rough, y'all. There's some places it gets narrow, and you're looking down. Pretty good drop. There's some places made me a little uncomfortable. Last time I was there, I still had my Xterra, and that guy's capable as heck. There were some tight squeezes in there. This is a four-wheel drive situation. I bet you could do it in a sedan, but I wouldn't. Anyway, once you get onto Poteau Mountain Road, your first stop along the way is going to be roughly 3.1 miles, and it is the River Valley Overlook. Gives you a really good view of the River Valley, the Poteau River Valley, to the south. And from there, you head on until you get to Lookout Gap. And Lookout Gap's a good one. It's another 2.5 miles. And in this area, you're going to be looking for, there's an old roadbed that crosses the road that you're on. And that is the old wagon road that came down all the way from like Fort Smith to Texarkana. I'm assuming that might be the same thing that's what we would have called the Waldron Road, because that would have taken you to Waldron as well. And it's not like they made multiple routes all the time back in those days. We're talking early settlers. Started out as indigenous footpaths that settlers started to use that they eventually widened into roads. Can you imagine pulling a wagon across? You need to take this drive, and you're going to look around and go, how the hell did they get a wagon over this mountain? A lot of history up there to find and explore, guys. There's an old farm that somebody put up this giant, like, rock slab. And I can't remember the name of the farm now. I went back through my pictures and I couldn't find a picture I took of it. But it was like a descendant of the family that had carved out their life up on top of this rugged ass mountain. And this descendant was just like, there's got to be some kind of memorial here. So right at the junction of where the old road went up to this old farmstead, put up this giant rock slab, and it's carved in like a monument company did it. It's beautiful. So there's stuff to explore there, this old homestead, foundations thereof. You also have Dobbs Springs, which is like an old spring box right in the side of the mountain. You go further down, there's also a giant or a big well, stands up off the ground. You can go look down in it. The well's very neat. There's a lot of history up there. A lot of people carved out lives. These old settlers, man, they carved out lives in some of the most unforgiving mountain terrain. It'll blow your mind. So that in and of itself is pretty neat, all the history that you can find your way into. But also, when you go up over Poteau Mountain Road on this apparently rustic road auto tour, which I am now appropriating into Wayward Sons Backcountry Arkansas Backcountry Scenic Byways, because the Forest Service has obviously not done anything with this, you have Slate Falls Trail. And then you also have the Bell Star Cave Trail. Now, a couple of notes on this. Bell Star Cave Trail. We, our search and rescue team, pre-planned this. If you will go back and listen to hiking to Bell Star Cave or pre-planning, search and rescue pre-planning, you'll literally get like an entire episode talking just about this hike. As I once saw on a review on All Trails, for one of our hikes here in Arkansas, this hike slaps, which apparently in young people lingo means it's hard as hell. This hike gassed us. Like, we got smoked. We're the search and rescue team, and we had people that got smoked. This hike to Bell Star Cave is very serious. 6.9 kilometers. You're going to lose around 900 feet going in, but you got to get it back somewhere, right? Which is when you come out. It was brutal. Of course, we were there at the end of July, which was not the smartest thing, but it's when it worked out. And it is a really neat hike. I will tell you this, our friendly and ever so considerate UTV or side-by-siders just decided to drive down the mountain on the old hiking trail, and there's not really a hiking trail anymore because it's now become a creek that's washed out all the way down the mountain because the UTVers did a thing they weren't supposed to. So it's even harder. There's some of it that's still kind of like hiking, but there's a lot of boulders because it's washed out. You know, once you start that erosion down a mountain, they become paths of least resistance and become creeks. So it's kind of like crawling in and out of a creek bed to get down there. As of last year, it was. Maybe something's changed. Highly doubt it. It's probably only gotten worse. But it is neat. You go down and see Bellstar Cave, which Bellstar had nothing to do with. And she was probably never in that area because she had no reason to be. Makes no sense whatsoever. Doesn't fit historically. Doesn't fit anywhere we know she was. But as we know, people want to attach their name to anything they can. And whoever used to be in that area loved the idea that Bellstar probably hid out in this cave. What really happened down there is some old settlers, and more likely than that, before the settlers, the indigenous peoples, because this is an archaeological resource area that you shouldn't disturb. Somebody rocked in a rock overhang, like a rock house shelter, and built basically a chimney into it, which the chimney building part was probably an old settler. And it's a really neat cave to explore, guys. Like, it'd be kind of cool to go camp down there, stay the night. But it's a serious hike in, and it's super, super beautiful hike in. The creek at the bottom of the mountain is beautiful. The cave setting up above the creek is beautiful, and there is a waterfall that comes off right by when the water's been running. There's a waterfall that comes off right by Bellstar, but it's a really neat hike. But just understand, you better be for real hiker if you're going to go down there. Like, All Trails, as is usual, is like, this is a moderate hike. All Trails does not know it's hiney from a hole in the ground. Just know that. The reason why is because it takes like the top stuff, and the people who go hike these things want to sound like they're awesome, and it's not a big deal to them. So they write reviews that are like, well, this is an easy hike. I didn't have a problem. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Chill out. You're going to get someone killed someday. I mean, it's become a zeitgeist thing in the outdoor space, guys, making fun of how bad All Trails descriptions are. This is not moderate. This is a serious hike, a very serious hike. And you could get yourself in serious trouble if you were doing it solo or you're unprepared and you don't have enough water. Just understand that. Slate Falls is actually a further hike. It is 8 kilometers and you gain roughly 860 feet by the time it's all over with. However, the payoff is a 56-foot waterfall, the tallest waterfall in the Ouachita Mountains, in Arkansas at least. It's a pretty rough hike, and understand that last probably 200 meters of that hike is like bouldering and scrambling to get down to the waterfall. But if you are fit and capable enough, it is a worthy venture to take on. Slate Falls is really, really neat. One of the other great things about this little Arkansas backcountry byway is dispersed camping. There's several camping spots across the top of the ridge. It's National Forest. Just like we talked about in recent episodes, National Forest, BLM, dispersed camping, y'all. Camp where you want. We like to, like, practice and we like to advise, like, try to stay in camping spots that are already established. It's a lot less work for you and it does less damage to the environment to build fires and pits that are already built. All kinds of camps. And also take into account, I said, hunters. Like, if you go in hunting season, especially gun season, probably not the best time to go unless you're just driving through. If you want to camp up there, you'd probably be better off going in non-gun hunting season. Not necessarily because you'd be in any danger, but just because there's not going to be anywhere to camp. There's going to be a lot of traffic up there. Like, it can get pretty packed out that week of gun season down here in the Merck and South. People like, go get them deer. I like to eat them deer. I'll tell you that. Boy, there ain't nothing better than a deer backstrap steak. Some deer jerky, hot dog. I don't like to kill them, though. I let everyone else do the dirty work, and then I just enjoy the benefits, reap the benefits of their generous natures, because everyone wants to show off their deer jerky. But anyway, I digress. There's some really neat dispersed camping up there. Like, we camped the night there when our search and rescue team, when we went up and we did the pre-planning of Bellstar Trail. We did. Man, I put up my hammock. We had a good night. Oh, God, we cooked a good meal that night, too. But you get to look down, and you can see Waldron in the distance in the Poto River Valley from that overlook at night. And not only can you see just millions of stars because you're up 2,000 feet, but you also can see the lights of Waldron in the distance down in the valley. And it's really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. So it's a great backcountry byway, and it is off-road. Like, you could probably do a two-wheel drive with enough ground clearance, but honestly, it's a off, you know, off all-terrain vehicle would be a much better option. A four-wheel drive with some ground clearance would be a much better option. All right. Well, we're not quite to 30 minutes yet. We've got a handful of little ones that I could just peel off here real quick as one-offs because they're all pretty cool. And of course, me, we'll probably only get through one because I can make anything take an hour, right? That's how the Wayward Son rolls. It's what I do is tell stories and probably bore you guys. Hopefully I don't bore you guys. We made it to 10,000 downloads, so somebody's listening, right? So let's see here. Let's go down to some of my earliest routes with Big Purple, with good old FedEx. When I was driving around Plainview, Arkansas, Ola, Arkansas, Rover, Arkansas, guys, there's some really neat. You know what? I know exactly what I'm going to tell you guys. This is going to be a good one. We're going to string together a group of what you could call scenic driving tours, which would be on pavement, that go into a backcountry byway that would probably test most people's vehicles. I did it in a FedEx scooter van, but you got to understand, and in most scooter vans, you know, back when I had a country route like that, they put you in the little Ford Transits, right? When I had my scooter van, when I was the low man on the totem pole driving around 14 hours a day, 350 miles worth of driving in the course of a day is how far into the sticks I went on every day of the week. Well, guess what? That scooter van don't belong to me. And you want this package delivered, so let's go, baby. Man, I did some crazy stuff in them old scooter vans. They're front-wheel drive, too, so they had a little bit more traction. They had that weight from the engine in the front end. But I did it in Ford Transits, I will tell you this. But what that means for your personal passenger vehicle that you want to have some resale value when you go to trade it in a couple of years, that's more of a you decision, okay? So anyway, I'm going to take you to Ola, Arkansas. Never heard of it? Nobody has. Anyway, down in the Washitas, beautiful area, absolutely beautiful area. Really is. Lots of pine trees. That's what's going on down there is the logging industry. Tons of pine logging. But just beautiful drives down there. As a matter of fact, one of Arkansas's designated scenic drives is, I believe, 7, Highway 7. See, there's Highway 7 and there's Highway 27 down there. One of them will take you to Hot Springs from Ola. The other one will take you from roughly Plainview, Roverish area. I think it's Plainview. No. You go on over to Rover. Yeah, you're going over to Rover, and you hit Highway 27. It'll take you down to Mount Ida, essentially, which then you can scoot over. It's all scenic. Honestly, all of those damn highways down there are awesome scenic drives. And also, like, pro tip, life hack, Arkansas wilderness life hack, do your business in the Washitas, because they're not hip like the Ozarks are now, where all the yuppies are. Where you can't get parking anymore and you're literally like waiting in line to hike down trails, go to the Washitas, which are just as beautiful and are all national forest where you can do a heck of a lot more. And there's no one there. There's no one there because it's not cool to be in the Washitas. It's cool to be in the Ozarks. So Arkansas hack, if you just like me care about getting out in the wilderness and exploring really cool places, Washitas are where it's at right now, baby. Also, total solar eclipse coming up. Smart money. If you want to go catch the total solar eclipse and film it or do something cool with it in the wilderness, stay the hell out of the Ozarks because you ain't going to get out of there for 3 days. That's a whole ordeal that we're about to have to deal with. Go to the Washitas. Promise you. Highway 71 will probably be busy, but dollars to donuts, I bet you anything, there's not going to be hardly anyone down in the Washitas compared to the northwest or the north central section of the state. Anyway, you're welcome for all the tips and tricks tonight. But we're going to go down to Ola. And from Ola, we're going to take Highway 7 South towards Hot Springs, and we're going to head to Hollis and the Hollis Country Store. Stop at the Hollis Country Store, get you a soda pop, get you a candy bar, maybe a sandwich, bring cash. Now, it's been a couple of years. Maybe they've updated, but they don't really have service out there. I tried to use a card, and they just gave me a candy bar one day because they didn't take cards. So make sure and carry some cash. But Hollis Country Store, Crow's Nest, it's a super cool place down there in the middle of nowhere. You're getting real close to Hot Springs, actually. But head down there to the Hollis Country Store from Ola down Highway 7. Then go to Highway 314 and take Highway 314 to the west, all the way to its end in Highway 27. When you get to Highway 27, you head south until you get to Chula Road. Now, Highway 7 to Hollis and 314 and 314 to 27 down to Chula, all paved road. Some of it's state highway, beautiful, easy drive. Coming down from Ola, as a matter of fact, you can stop at Nimrod Dam. You can explore that, which is a neat little place. You could eat your lunch out on Lake Nimrod, just like right there in the picnic tables. A lot of neat stuff on Nimrod Lake. And it's beautiful, beautiful area down there. It's the Fish LaFave River comes through, creates Nimrod Lake. Beautiful, beautiful scenery. Great smallmouth fishing on the Fish LaFave itself. But once you get to Hollis, you take 314. Now you're on a country back road. So be a little bit careful what you're driving. Y'all, it's again, let's go back to bucolic. It's not dirt yet. It's paved, but it's an old country back road. And there's a lot of folks that just live down along through there. Be respectful of them. Don't drive 90 on it. Take your time. It is a Sunday drive kind of road. You're following along the South Fork of the Fish LaFave River. There's a lot of beautiful things to see down there. You're going to see bald eagles. You're going to see deer. You're going to see so many deer. And if you're there towards dusk, you know, or dawn, you might see a black bear. I've seen them down there myself. I ran that route for a year. But once you get down to Chula Road, C-H-U-L-A, this is where you want to definitely be off highway, like all-terrain vehicle. Now, Chula Road itself, all the way down to Bluff Road, not that bad. Again, going right alongside the south branch of the Fish LaFave River. It's beautiful. Fun little dirt road to drive. There's houses down there. People do still live down there. I had to deliver down there. That right there was the bane of my existence. If that mother trucker at the end of Chula Road ordered something, which they did every single day, added exactly 1 hour and 17 minutes to my day every day that they ordered something. They were the only people down there that ordered anything. And if they had a package that day, 1 hour, 17 minutes round trip just for them. Just for them. And that was 1 hour, 17 minutes I didn't get to spend with my daughter that night. That was 1 hour, 17 minutes of my life that I didn't get paid for any extra because FedEx hates its employees. Anyway, whole different rant, whole different story. Yeah, and yeah, for real, seriously, we didn't get overtime. We got paid a day rate. We got paid a day rate. No overtime, which there's a huge, huge lawsuit in litigation right now about that whole deal that I'm actually on. So maybe someday, 30 years from now, I'll get a $1.37 check from the settling of the class action that like 33,000 drivers are on, I think. Can you imagine not paying someone overtime? Like, just a quick side tangent. It's like, we paid you a day rate, so you're not salaried, because by law, you have to pay salary overtime if they work overtime. And you're not hourly, which, of course, you have to pay overtime. Like, basically, by saying it's a day rate, it's a capitalistic loophole to further screw your employees. It was wonderful. But anyway, I hated going down Chula Road for work. But Chula Road is a fun little country drive. Now, when you get towards the Bluff Road, where it cuts off of Chula, this is where it gets a little bit crazy. And I take no responsibility for if you get all the way down there and get stuck somewhere or whatever, but just know I did it in a FedEx wagon. I did it in a Sprinter van more than once. But if you take Bluff Road off of Chula up towards Bluffton, you can see it on a map. If you go type all this in, you will see it. Y'all, this is about as remote as you can get in this state. You get back in there, crossing the top of that mountain, it is about as remote as you're going to get in this state, at least driving on an old dirt road. I did it in a FedEx truck. Just know that. So if you have a four-wheel drive vehicle, it should be no problem. The only thing you have to worry about is if trees fall across the road. But back 4 years ago when I was running that route, there was an old farmer that drove it every day on his tractor just for giggles. And if there was anything in the road, he cleared it. It is a forestry road, so you should, by all accounts, by all rights, be able to drive it if you want. But just know, you're definitely getting back in it, and you definitely will want to have a four-wheel drive for it. But it is gorgeous, guys. Old-growth pine forest, like river bottom, like creek bottoms in certain parts. You feel like you go through different, almost kind of miniature ecosystems within this mountain landscape. You go up over tall peaks and down into valleys. Such a fun drive. And when you get to the end of it, you can either turn right and head up to Bluffton, where it starts to become a gravel road, or a gravel and then paved road again. Or if you want, you can take Million Dollar Highway, which is a lefty, all the way over and comes back out on Highway 28 again. Eventually. Okay. So again, we're going Ola to Hollis, 314 to 27 South, Chula Road to Bluff Road. And now we're taking Million Dollar Highway. Million Dollar Highway's got its own neat little story. It's like one of those great blunders in history kind of deals. It was some kind of a state project that was done, I believe, in the 1960s. Looked it up a long time ago. There's actually scant information on it. Online to be found. I'm sure other people somewhere in some archive have better information, but what I was able to gather is it was started and built, cost $1 million, I guess, which back then was a lot of money. Like compared to today, it'd probably be like 10 million or I don't know. But the whole thing was, it was only built for logging. Like anyone could drive it, but it was built in the middle of nowhere and went from nowhere to nowhere. No cities, no towns, no real town, but barely just like little settlements. You know, little dots on a map. Million Dollar Highway in the middle of the Ouachita Forest for no damn reason. Except there was a reason. It was to try to facilitate the timber industry. And I mean, I guess it worked for a while, but then it didn't because it went nowhere. And eventually they just started putting gravel over the top of it because they couldn't keep up with the maintenance of the actual paved part. So now it's like a gravel road that occasionally has some pavement showing through. There's guardrails. There's 50-year-old signs, like a caution sign with a curve, like sharp curve ahead. I used to drive that road doing my delivery route. You can take it from Bluff Road all the way out to Highway 28, where you're getting back to almost into settled Arkansas again. That right there is the backcountry byway, baby. Take Chula Road to Bluff Road to Million Dollar Highway, and I bet you that would keep you busy all day. I never did all those at once on my FedEx route, but I bet you that would take you all day if you did. And also, when you're on Million Dollar Highway, you can cut off onto Little Texas Road in Little Texas. That was definitely four-wheel drive material. Like, there were days that, I nearly got stuck in my FedEx van a few times, and like, it would have taken a four-wheel drive. I just couldn't deliver the packages or whatever. So anyway, this one, these are ones I know intimately, and I'm telling you, that would be fun day of adventuring. And now, as a matter of fact, I want to go back and do it in my personal vehicle. Like, that would be really neat. Go back to Ola, take 7 South, it's a beautiful drive, hit Hollis, grab a candy bar, grab a glass Coke, glass bottle Coke, head across 314 just for old time's sake, and then hit those dirt roads and take them all the way back to almost civilization and Waldron, or Mena. It's really Y City. It's kind of where you come out at Parks, Arkansas. Gosh, that would be so, so cool. So anyway, we've really run on late now. We're well past our 30 minutes. So we're just going to call it with that for tonight. I've still got a few more to talk about, but we'll save those for another episode for another time. I've got to get to editing tonight. Gosh, this ran pretty long. Hopefully this came out really well, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. I really enjoyed talking about it. I enjoyed making it tonight. I love these backcountry roads. And I can't believe, for all these things that we have in Arkansas, we don't have designated backcountry byways. Well, guess what, Arkansans? Now we do. We got the Wayward Sons list of Arkansas backcountry byways. And it's an extremely partial list. there are going to be dozens and dozens more. And if any of you want to tell me about some of your favorites, please send me an email. Or if you just want to say hi or have anything you want to talk about, mywaywardstory@gmail.com, as always, to get in touch. But let's go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. I don't think I have anything else I need to go over, so let's kind of send this one on home. Let's put a bow on it and call it a night. Guys, thank you for sticking around all the way to the end of the episode and coming back for another episode for our 3-year anniversary, for our birthday, 3 years old, 10,000 downloads. Thank you guys for coming back over and over again, and I hope to see you guys again next week. I will ask, as I always do, you guys please like and subscribe. Please share it with your friends. Please rate and review it. Please let people know that you're listening, that you enjoy it. It helps us so much when you do that. And if you want to see any of our projects that we've got going on or get to any of my social media accounts and connect with me, go to waywardstories.com. That is the easiest way to get basically access to everything. And other than that, guys, I hope you all enjoy your weekend. I hope you get out, get on a fun adventure, find some backcountry byway somewhere to explore. And until we meet again, as always, you guys be good to each other.